Morning, you guys. It was a great time to get to worship together last week for Easter. It was so neat to see everybody, even if in their cars. And that was just, it was just really special. So we'll probably try to do something like that again soon. But for today, we're separated all in our own homes. And I want to share with you another psalm like I did last week. We might spend a couple of weeks now just looking over the psalms because they're here to help us in times of trouble. Today, I want to look at Psalm 3, the third psalm. And David wrote this when he was in great, grievous trouble. When you think about all of David's life and how much time he had to spend before becoming king, just fleeing from Saul and living out in the wilderness or living with Philistine kings and all the things that he had to do to try and not be killed by Saul before he was able to eventually actually inherit the kingdom and become king as God had anointed him when he was a boy. Well, the third psalm starts off by saying this is a psalm that David wrote when he was fleeing his son Absalom. So as long and difficult as his life was leading up to this inheritance of becoming king as God had made him for, that wasn't the most difficult part in his life. Even worse was a time that came much later on after he'd had many children and ruled for a long time and was an older man. He had a son named Absalom who decided to rebel against him. And 2 Samuel tells us about how Absalom, who was awfully handsome and was awfully a good leader and was perhaps the king apparent, even though Absalom himself had killed one of his brothers and done some evil things and had a broken relationship with his father David. Well, Absalom went around to different areas in Israel and different leaders, different elders of Israel, and tried to rally them all against David. And he was able to create this great rebellion where lots of people said, yeah, sure, David's old and his time is done and he can't keep things together in his own house. So we're going to support you and you're going to be the next king. And Absalom rallies a great army of Israelites together in rebellion against his father. And David has to flee Jerusalem and run away as his son Absalom takes over things. David, this man after God's own heart, does not have it easy all the time. Here he is, great king, having all sorts of stuff and yet broken. Because not only is a rebellion taken away the nation from him, but his own son Absalom is the one who is rebelling. This is painful on so many levels. And yet the third psalm has this title that this is the song that David sung. This is what he wrote when he was running away from his son Absalom, when he was fleeing from Jerusalem, from his palace, from everything that he had with whatever men would come with him. This is what David said. Lord, how my foes increase. There are many who attack me, many who say about me, there is no help for him in God. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. I cry aloud to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down to sleep and I wake again because God sustains me. I will not be afraid of thousands of people who have taken their stand against me on every side. Rise up, Lord. Save me, my God. You strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people. Even in a time of grief, David cries out and he says, I trust the Lord. This is what sets David apart from other people. And when David is called someone who has a heart after God's own heart, it's because of things like this, where David says, you know what? Everything is falling apart in life. I trust God. David fleeing from his own son, fleeing from his capital, fleeing from his palace and all that he has, is able to say, Lord, you are my shield. You are the one I trust. You are my glory. You are the one who lifts my head. You are the one who sustains me. And you are the one who is my salvation, my deliverance. Let's look at each one of these. First, For David to say, "Lord, you're my shield," is a very real, not metaphorical, sort of battle term here, because he is about to go to war with his own son Absalom, with whatever soldiers will gather around him, versus all those soldiers who would gather around his son Absalom. The end of the story is Absalom is killed by one of David's generals, and David wins the war, and he goes back to his palace, but he's able to say here, fleeing and in grief, what shields we have, what armor we have, what chariots we have, the Lord is my shield. And so, whether we have much, many soldiers or few soldiers, many shields or few, many swords or few, it doesn't matter. The Lord is my shield. And next, he says, you know what? The Lord is my glory. And this is important because, I mean, his glory, you might have thought, was in being king, was in having a palace, was in having a bunch of sons and a big family. After all, what are the people of Israel saying about David now? There are many who are deriding him. This very phrase, there's no help for him in God. This is what they're saying. God's done with him. Just like God moved on from Saul, God must have moved on from David now, because his son's taken things over and David's on the run. That's how he started. That's how he's finishing. I mean, imagine if David's glory is his family, is his, you know, royal vestments and robes, is his castle. He's lost all of that. But that's not where David's glory lies. David says, the Lord is my glory. Next, David says, the Lord is the one who lifts my head. And this is beautiful. It's beautiful. I often think jokingly, though, of Charlie Brown, you know, always walking around with his head hung low in grief and saying, oh, good grief. And the normal Charlie Brown pose that we all get into sometimes in life that David could have right here is the head hung low, walking around, and he doesn't. David says, the Lord is the one who lifts my head. Now next, David also says in verse 5, he says, I lie down and I go to sleep, but I rise again, and when I rise again, it's the Lord who sustains me. David's not afraid to go to sleep at night, even in a foreign place, even fleeing from his palace, because he knows it's God who sustains him. This is in contrast to the Israelites who, wandering in the wilderness, you know, cried out to God and cried out against God and against Moses and said, you know, why did you bring us out here to die? David, fleeing, says, it's the Lord who sustains me. Whatever sustenance he had, however assured his meals were in the palace, now in flight, having lost everything, home, titles, glory, power, family, he says, the Lord's the one who sustains me. Finally, David will say in verse 8, his salvation belongs to the Lord as well. It's the Lord who is going to save. So much for David, but what does it mean for us? How do we say these things also in our time of trouble? You know, what's most helpful, I think, about this psalm is realizing how good it is for us that God is the one who is, or God is the one who holds all of our help. If we are to say, God is my shield, then we're saying that protection isn't something that we can have sometimes and lose other times, but we always have protection because he is always faithful and never loses what he has. We're not good at holding on to the things we have. Sometimes we're like children in this way. You know the old saying, he'd lose his head if it wasn't attached. So it is for all of us sometimes. Or as a real concrete example from my family, if you have a child and they're getting birthday presents and, you know, their grandparents have sent them cards in the mail and maybe the card had a $20 bill in it, where does that $20 bill go immediately after that child has opened the card? Yeah, that $20 bill goes in my pocket, not theirs, because there's no chance that they're going to hold on to it. But I, or even better, Meredith, because maybe I'll buy a taco with it. Even better, Meredith will be the one who holds on to it for the child, because it's much more safe for the child that Meredith be the one who holds on to it, because the child will lose it. And so it is for us. Perhaps we, like children, if we held on to these things ourselves, if we were the ones who held on to our hope for protection, our hope for sustenance, if we're the ones who held on to our own glory or salvation, surely we would lose it at some point. But the good news for all of us from this psalm is, as much as so many good things in life can be lost, and sometimes in seasons they are, God is the one who holds our protection. He's our shield. God is the one who is our glory. Whatever sorts of things we might have glorified in our life or taken glory from, those things can go, but if God is our glory, then it can never be lost. Perhaps you glory in some stuff that you have, and not in a terrible idolatrous way, but just say, man, when you were younger, you really wanted this one particular car, and then now that you're older, you're able to afford it, and so you got it and enjoyed it. You have this glory in some kind of possession that you have. Well, you know, possessions can be lost. Other people will take pride and glory, and again, let's say not inappropriately, perhaps, and their family, and their children, and how good God's been to them, and how blessed they are to see them all. But if our glory is there, then we're all put to grief, because children make their own decisions sometimes, and they make wrong decisions. And just like David understood here from his son rebelling against him, it's not always good, this relationship between a parent and a child or within a family. Even if that's where our glory is, that can go. Perhaps for you, it's your health, that you're awfully proud of your health and say, you know, I've been taking care of myself and been doing really good for my life, and all has been well, and I work out a lot, but then your health suddenly starts to evaporate or disappear. It'd be a shame if our glory was in these things, stuff, family, health, that all come and go in their seasons. But the good news for us is, if we're in Christ, our glory is in God, that He has all good things for us, that He is the one who is glorious and has saved us. Our glory, our hope, the goodness in our life can't be lost, because He has it and will always have it for us in abundance. The Lord is our shield. The Lord is our glory. The Lord is the one who lifts our head. So even if we go around like Charlie Brown, grieving with our heads hung low because we're so sad that things are going poorly in our life, our hope for the lifting of our head, it can't just be in some kind of version of self-help, you know? It can't be. There's all kinds of books out there that offer simple self-help solutions, like, oh, just start off your life with making your bed and that'll be all right. Or if you begin with the end in mind, that'll be all right. Or go wash your face and clean yourself up. Or we can get the idea that, you know what, I'm going to turn things around, and I'm going to change my attitude. I'm going to lift my own head by working out some more, by eating right, or by waking up early in the morning, and I'm going to get myself on track. You know, a lot of that is good, to have goals and to eat healthy and to sleep well. I mean, all this is good, but really, it's God who can lift our head, can vindicate us, who can lift us up, who can lift our hearts. For those who are in Christ, we have this from Christ, because we have all these things in Him. He is our shield. He is our glory. He is the one who lifts our head. And even more, as David says down in verse 5, He is the one who sustains us. We, like David, can say, I go to sleep and I'm not afraid. And I wake up in the morning because God sustains me. This is a good verse to remember because, I mean, as long as life goes on, there are going to be seasons of plenty and abundance, and there are going to be seasons of being broke and having nothing. But in all seasons, for the Christian, we know that it's the Lord who sustains us, no matter what else is going along. If there is shortage, as you know, we're constantly talking about shortages right now, and we haven't seen any yet around us here in South Carolina, whether it be toilet paper or paper products. We've seen slight inconveniences, but we really haven't seen shortages or grief. But even in times of shortage, it is the Lord who sustains us. He's the one who will provide. So we'll be all right, even if we're not. We still know that we'll be all right because he'll sustain us. But finally, perhaps most importantly, in verse 8, David says, "Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people." Our salvation is also in his hands. And salvation, deliverance, it belongs to the Lord, not to us. So, he is our shield. He is our glory. He is the one who lifts our head. He is the one who sustains us. But he is also our salvation, and the one who holds our salvation. This is further good news because, as we've said, when people wonder about having gone through a time when they fell into sin or did something wrong in their life, just like David did at various times in his life, they begin to wonder, have I lost my salvation? Can God still love me? I mean, he forgave me for some of those things in the past, but now that I've really sinned, could he forgive me of this? As we say, if you could lose your salvation, you would have by now. But we can't, because our salvation is not something that we hold on to. Rather, we are sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. One of the functions of the Holy Spirit in our life is that he is a seal of our salvation. If you have the Holy Spirit, our salvation is assured because it didn't come from us and it's not held on to by us. It can't be shaken from the hands of God, who is the one who holds on to it. He is our salvation, and he is the one who holds our salvation. A normal question that we as Christians ask of each other, that I ask of people when I meet with them, is, if you die today, are you certain you'd be in heaven with Christ? And a lot of people are shy about this question, and they want to hedge it and say, well, you know, I hope so. And it's not a bad inclination of theirs. They don't want to, you know, they don't want to declare themselves holy and righteous. They don't want to say, yes, I'm fantastic. I'm going to heaven. But the right answer is, if you're in Christ, we have the assurance of our salvation. But not because we're righteous or holy, but because he is. The righteous and holy one holds our salvation like he holds our lives. So we can say rightly, yeah, not because of anything I've done, not because I'm a very good person or righteous, but because Christ is my salvation and he is the one who holds my salvation for me. If I die today, I know because of how good he is, because of all good that he has done for me, I will go to be with Christ. What we're saying isn't I'm good enough. What we're saying is he's good enough. So I'll ask you the same question. If you die today, are you certain you'd be in heaven with Christ? Moreover, if you die today, are you certain that you will rise again, just like Christ did? This is, again, not a statement of belief in ourselves and our abilities and what we've done. This is a statement in believing in Christ. Really, it is a question, do you believe he rose again? Do you believe he died for everyone? And do you believe that everyone who goes to him receives forgiveness? If you do, then you can say affirmatively for yourself, I believe that even if I die today, I would go to be in heaven with Christ, but also that I will rise someday when Christ returns. See, that is our hope. Now, if anyone doesn't have this assurance, anyone doesn't have this protection, if anyone doesn't have this hope and this glory, you can have it today by simply going to Christ and asking, Lord, will you be my shield? Lord, will you be my glory? Lord, will you be the one who lifts my head? Lord, will you be the one who sustains me? Lord, will you be my salvation? Will you be my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? To everyone who goes to him, he doesn't turn away anyone. Go to him today and have this. If you're in Christ, then have this confidence that Jesus is our shield. Jesus is the one who lifts our head. Jesus is the one who sustains us. Jesus is our glory, and Jesus is our salvation. And if you don't know him yet, if you're not in Christ, then know that today you can be if you go to him and ask, please, be my shield, be my glory. Be the one who lifts my head. Be my sustainer. Be my savior. Have this hope in Christ. David was fleeing from his son, and things were going to get harder because his son was going to die, and David was going to grieve about this. But David knew the right song to sing, even in the most grievous time in life, even when everything was taken away from him. You know, I think we also have the right song to sing here. Even when we're grieved greatly, we still have great hope in Jesus Christ, our Lord.